Atlantis. Atlantis began to flourish as a civilization towards the end of Lemuria's time, and Atlantis was a huge continent, most of which is now under the Atlantic Ocean. Atlantis was a brilliant manifestation of spirit energy, unfettered by any of what they viewed as limitations from the will. A popular held image is that Atlantis was the highest civilization ever to exist on the Earth. And while many hold fond memories, or think they do, of Atlantis, most of the people holding these memories also have a strong affinity to the polarity of the spirit. The Atlantean civilization was peopled by those who had serious misgivings about free will from the beginning, and also by many who had become disenchanted with the polarization to the will in Lemuria. Atlanteans wanted unfettered expansion on all levels, and they wanted to elevate all manifestations of the spirit and use and control the intuitive feeling will. The Atlantean approach to life showed this polarization in all of its aspects. While communication in Lemuria was largely body language and empathic communication of feelings, communication in Atlantis was verbally articulate and developed expressions of complex thought patterns and visions that often flashed back and forth quickly and telepathically. The Atlanteans also had many clear and detailed inner visions. Many in Atlantis developed the power of their mind to the point where they could focus thoughts and visions into crystals and store them there for their own later use or for presentation to groups of people. The Atlanteans could influence and control others, and they could also heal or harm with their powers. Music in Atlantis consisted mainly of intricate melodic patterns woven with voices and accompanied by stringed instruments that were also melodic. Music in Lemuria emphasized drums and rhythm. The buildings of Lemuria were more earthy, while Atlanteans built refined, palatial structures of highly polished stone. Murals, mosaics, sculptures, weavings, pottery, jewelry, and all other art of artisan contributions to everyday life were highly refined examples of the visionary brilliance in Atlantis. Glassware and the carvings of stones and gemstones became highly developed arts. Atlanteans felt it was important to study, consider, refine, and develop the expression of the creative impulse, whereas Lemurians built, created, and expressed with the feelings and spontaneity they valued so highly. While travel for Lemurians consisted of walking, running, swinging through the trees with the help of branches and vines, leaping, soaring, and teleporting, rather great distance at a time. Atlanteans did not consider this to be dignified enough for them. Atlanteans built some roads and stately vehicles, had processions, and regulated individual everyday travel so that it was orderly. Atlantis had everyday, individualized means of conveyance that could be somewhat described as basket-like. These could move by hovering above the ground and followed guidelines that had the appearance of narrow roads. They also had majestic ships that could travel on the seas and in the air. Many Atlanteans traveled rather extensively, and some had the means to have their own air and sea ships. The extensive technology developed by Atlantis had repetitious tasks, and everything that seemed like drudgery to Atlanteans received help from technology. Whatever was unsuitable for Atlanteans to do and unadaptable to their technology was done by the sub-citizens of Atlantis. Sub-citizens consisted of beings still trapped in forms that limited them, Lemurians, who had been brought there by Atlanteans to escape the dinosaurs, but were not like the Atlanteans, and later, some of the strange peoples from Pangaea that Atlanteans had found in remote parts of the world. Atlanteans used these beings like slaves, and some were abused. Many Atlanteans tried to ignore the humanness in these beings by rationalized the right of Atlantis to use them however they wanted to. Some Atlanteans wanted to ignore the uncomfortable imbalance with the will these beings presented, and some wanted to help these beings evolve into the kind of consciousness that they had. Lemuria had not developed any technology, but they felt it was fun to do most of the things they did because they did them together and because they loved doing things with their physical body. The Atlantean point of view saw technology as an improvement on the will and a relief from having to do much with their physical body. The power source for Atlantean technology was an energy they had learned to focus, store, and project with the help of crystals. The development of technology in Atlantis was largely a compensation for power lost by denying the will. Many more people at that time had a desire to provide themselves with a technological substitute for the powers of the will than had desire to understand and evolve the emotional quality of the will. The Atlantean spirits did not take responsibility for their own part in the imbalance, but instead, almost universally, the spirits decided they wanted little to do with the will, and that what will remained with them needed to be controlled so that there were no repeats of what they judged had happened earlier. Since most Atlanteans saw the earlier problems of imbalance as something that could be solved if the spirit was in control, the spirit polarity in Atlantis began to emphasize regulations, discipline, and orderly procedure in place of spontaneity and doing what they felt like doing. At first, the will in Atlantis went along with this and did not object or try to influence the spirit, because the will really did fear that it had not done well in the past. Experience in Lemuria had seemed to show that the will could not succeed on its own, and so should find a way to agree with the spirit and try to do what the spirit wanted done. The will in Atlantis was holding a large and unexpressed emotional charge around the question of what its appropriate role with the spirit was supposed to be. The spirit in Atlantis sought to educate the will and thus train the will to properly serve the spirit. The will in Atlantis tried to go along with this and be obedient to the spirit. All aspects of Atlantean society reflected these attitudes toward the spirit and the will. Religion and education were not separate in Atlantis, and all Atlanteans who were capable of receiving an education received an extensive education in the temples. Teachers in Atlantis were also students, in that they studied for their entire lives. Many realms of study were pursued in depth in Atlantis that have not received wide acceptance today as valid areas of study, and some are not consciously remembered at all. However, the sub-citizens were taught only what Atlanteans decided they needed to know. Atlantis developed the perceptive or extrasensory powers extensively, and this study opened realms not perceived by many today. Everything Atlantis developed was inspired and guided by these expanded perceptions and the understandings received through them. Even though Atlantis had a scientific orientation, no one at the time considered these perceptions to be unscientific. The Atlanteans' ability to apply inspiration to everyday life also increased the credibility of receiving information from other realities, other kinds of beings, and even from other planets. The Atlantean civilization appeared to be fabulously successful for a long time. Everything they envisioned and decided to try came into manifestation and worked for them. Atlanteans saw this as evidence that they had true understanding. Their touch at the time was so infused with the spirit light that it enlivened in ways seldom experienced now on Earth. And yet, most of the will in Atlantis was not being touched by the spirit at all and was hardly vibrating. Atlanteans did not believe they were judging the will or seeing its role inaccurately, and they did not realize that they had any denials. The Atlanteans believed the will was meant to serve them. There were some reflections of their denials in Atlantis, but rather than accepting these denials, Atlanteans explained them away and also tried to ignore them. Atlanteans were holding beliefs and judgments about reality, and also being proud of their accomplishments, mistook these judgments for reality. One reflection which Atlanteans found to be uncontrollable and difficult to accept, and was therefore misunderstood, was Lumeria. Many Atlanteans saw the overwhelming emotion held by the will as the reason why Lumerians could not solve their problems. Believing the solution was to control the emotions of the will, this belief powered much of the Atlantean approach. Total understanding and full acceptance was not fully present in the consciousness. And so, what has taken place has been necessary, and yet, it was, for the most part, a terrible experience for the will. In the last days of Pangaea and Lemuria and in Atlantis. Rather than denying the experience of the will further, there is much that can be learned about balance by studying these experiences of the past and releasing the feelings still held from them. The Lumerians had developed the magnetic will energy to a place of great power. By nature, magnetic will energy is meant to attract the spirit to it, and since the will in Lumeria feared it was unaccepted by the spirit and responded by reacting against it, Lumerians were unable to draw to themselves the increased in spiritual presence necessary to guide the increased magnetic energy. Instead, the Lemurians drew to themselves, without realizing how they were doing it, not only manifestations of denied spirit, but also a light that denied them. One of the forms this took was the dinosaurs, whose forms embodied every aspect of the judgments against spirit that so many Lemurians held. Many spirits saw this experience as dangerous for the will to vibrate unless the spirit filled that space with light. Judging they were not going to be allowed to fill the space further fueled many spirits in Atlantis to believe they had to make the will be obedient to them. This had to be understood individually, but some understandings can be given to help point the way. Many Lemurians had fear that the spirit was an unloving, insensitive, domineering, controlling, overpowering, punishing monster that abandoned the will right when the will needed spirit the most, and had sent this upon them when they were doing their best to live on their own, as they believed the spirit wanted them to do. There was a firm belief in the will that it was caught in a reality where the spirit would not help it, and that the will was not supposed to ask for the spirit's help or need it. Many in the will polarity felt that the spirit had been, and still was, capable of hurting the will by denying it and forcing experiences on it that were unpleasant and impossible for the will to handle. There were many that even felt that the spirit was trying to kill the will. A secret fantasy of quite a few Lemurians was that if their situation became desperate enough, maybe the spirit would realize it needed and loved the will, and would then dramatically rescue the will and heal the split. This fantasy of hope was accompanied by a counterweight of fear that the spirit would not help and would not come down into the murky realms where the will was trapped. When I did not seem to help with divine intervention in the form that the Lemurians were seeking, some Lemurians finally appealed to the Atlanteans for help. Lemurians hoped that the Atlanteans would solve their problems for them, and yet their judgments against the spirit were also acted out. The Atlanteans were resistant to doing anything to help the Lemurians, and they delayed for quite a while. When the Atlanteans finally did arrive on the scene, they were uncomfortable with the emotionality of the Lemurians, which was just what they sought to escape by living in Atlantis, and yet the Atlanteans did decide to help. They wanted to help Lemuria as quickly and with as much detachment as they could, and leave as soon as possible. The Atlanteans decided to try out their crystal power by focusing it into the nesting grounds of the dinosaurs. The Lemurians felt an instinctive objection to this, which was disregarded by the Atlanteans as superstition and resistance to help. The Atlanteans offered to take to Atlantis any Lemurians who were willing to go. Many Lemurians felt this would be an unpleasant experience, and only some could detach from their homeland enough to go to Atlantis. The Atlanteans saw the Lemurians as overwhelmed by undirected emotion that lacked the vision and detachment necessary to solve their problems. They also saw it as necessary to take matters into their own hands, as in their view, nothing was going to be acceptable to the Lemurians. The will in Lemuria felt denied by the spirit once again, and felt it could only watch powerlessly as a rather cold and detached spirit dealt with the failures of the will. In denial of their own wills, the Atlanteans were unable to see themselves as having any causal role. They did not see their own involvement in how denied emotion was creating its own reflection in the dinosaurs. The focus of crystal power only temporarily set back the dinosaur population, and directly resulted in volcanoes and earthquakes that in end sank Lemuria. This was just what the intuitional will in Lemuria had feared, and was another experience that seemed to further prove the judgments against the spirit. Some Lemurians also saw that their magnetic willpower had drawn exactly what they feared, and they judged against themselves and their fear. This experience, without the understandings needed, led to a substantial increase in the polarization between spirit and will, and reinforced denial of the will and its powers, even among many of those who had formerly believed in the will or had viewed themselves as sympathetic toward the will. The Atlanteans did not admit that they had anything to do with sinking of Lemuria, but they did come back to Lemuria in its last days and offer again to take back to Atlantis any and all Lemurians who would agree to go. In Atlantis, these Lemurians received a mixed reception, and with few exceptions, were treated like sub-citizens. Many Atlanteans had not wanted to take in the Lemurians in the first place, and did not regard as valid any information that linked the sinking of Lemuria to the use of crystal power. This experience of polarizing to the spirit was necessary because the spirit at that time did not understand the will enough to balance with it. Without receptivity from the spirit, the will felt it had to wait. The accumulating charge in the will during Lemurian times was causing many wills to feel unable to do anything. This paralysis seemed to further the Atlantean theories that the will could not be the determining factor. Most Atlanteans began scheduling their lives to substitute for the loss of direction from the will. The spirit's conceptualized vision pushed on the rest of the being to act. A common judgment reiterated then was that the will holds the spirit back, and that the lower nature should not be allowed influence, since the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. After Lemuria sank, Atlantis went ahead and explored the rest of the world to see what was there. The many varied peoples and animals discovered in the world at that time both fascinated and disquieted them. But the Atlanteans chose to focus on their fascination and, for the most part, ignored their disquietude. On the earth at that time were many scattered bands of people who had fled Pangaea. These different groups had varying residual effects from the land of Pan, depending on their particular experiences and their point of view. Among these peoples, Atlanteans found groups of giants many feet tall, and even as tall as 25 feet, bands of dwarves, bands of little people, as small as a foot tall, and numerous others. I also want to say that some, whose men were only around 6 inches tall, fully grown, were able to hide successfully from the Atlanteans. Some still had forms that were a mixture of man and animal, such as the satyrs, centaurs, and mere people. Some people still had gills, and some of these peoples had a highly developed consciousness, and some had forms that severely limited the ability of their consciousness to be present or to express itself. While the Atlanteans studied these people, they tried to put many pieces of the picture together about the history on Earth up to that time, but everything was filtered through their own viewpoint. The vision of the spirit in Atlantis was to bring together, under its direction, the scattered bands and their scattered pictures of reality into a cohesive, unified whole. But most of these differing beings did not want to align with the vision of Atlantis. Many of the people at that time felt alienated from everything except their own viewpoint, the Atlanteans included. The Atlanteans did not know how to bring this diversity into willing alignment, and so, once again, the will was blamed and judged as being the opposition to the spirit. Undercurrents of frustration, fear, and anger grew behind these judgments, and since the Atlanteans had left no avenue open to accept these feelings and bring them into loving alignment, they concluded that they had no recourse but to overpower these peoples. Objections voiced directly to the powers in Atlantis often resulted in imprisonment. The denied feelings by the Atlanteans empowered the action that they took, which resorted to a demonstration of the destructive power of their great crystal, hitting a settlement they feared but thought they hated the most, which was a settlement of giants. The Atlanteans showed pictures of this destruction to the peoples, who did not want to accept Atlantean domination, and feeling powerless against this force, most of the peoples gave in or appeared to give in. This is how Atlantis became the undisputed ruler of the world. Understandings cannot come disconnected from experience. Understandings must come in a progression as experience creates a readiness to receive them. Many spirits had received an overload in the beginning by trying to gain understandings without the necessary experience in which to anchor them. Many of these spirits still continued trying to preach to their wills, telling them how they should perform in relationship to the understandings the spirit thought it had, but in actuality were only conceived of by the spirit at that time, and had need of will and body's experiences to grow to maturity. The will was distrustful of spirit because it was feeling overwhelmed by experiences that were much more complex and difficult than the spirit's concepts had represented them to be. Instead of receiving the will, the spirit was denying and maligning what will and body were experiencing. The will was not opposed to the vision of the spirit in Atlantis so much as to the ways the Atlanteans were going about implementing the will. The will had wanted to have its feelings accepted. Then it might have felt more ready to receive the Spirit. The Spirit was still feeling more than uncertain about wanting to have much at all to do with the will. The Spirit wanted the will to accept it on its own terms and told itself it might then be more receptive to what the will wanted to say. As time went on, Atlantis entered what could be called its middle period. The will reached the place where it could no longer obediently hold its growing charge. Whether the will understood itself or not, it began to stir. Feelings and desires that Atlanteans thought they had disciplined, refined, and evolved out of themselves began to stir again. When the suppressed will in Atlantis began to move, it was under the heavy weight of judgments that Atlanteans were holding. Many Atlanteans began to express aspects of themselves that they had not been expressing earlier, and this includes sexually. Many unexpressed emotions and judgments were channeled into this sexual expression. Within the self, conflict arose again concerning morals and correct spiritual approach. Disagreements between individuals increased, and some people began to express more of what they were really feeling. With others, the will began to have more influence over the way they approached their lives. Neat schedules and orderly procedures began to break down as people began to do a little more of what they felt like doing, rather than just what they had been told they were supposed to do. Many in Atlantis who began to do what they wanted to do made up reasons why they were supposed to do it, or why they had to do it. The lack of alignment in Atlantis between the spirit and the will made them feel that what they wanted to do was something other than what they were supposed to do. The conflict between duty and desire made room for an increase in guilt that they should be feeling and doing differently than they were. The spiritual presence in Atlantis had deeply denied fears about what had happened in Lemuria, which they did not recognize as fear of the will. They still believed that the will was not willing to align with the spirit. They still believed that control of the will was essential, and that if the will got out of control, it would destroy everything. Because of its overwhelming initial experience of entry into Earth, the spirit believed it must deny the will in order to not be denied itself. This meant that in Atlantis, the will was to express only in the ways the spirit was allowed. The will felt it was being told again that only certain aspects of itself were acceptable to the spirit, and the spirit seemed to confirm this by not touching the will with its light in these judged against areas. However, the will had the feelings that it had about its experience on Earth, whether the spirit accepted them or not. The spirit denied these feelings because they did not feel good to it, and tried to avoid these feelings in the will by not allowing them to move and express. The spirit believed that if it did not allow the will to move freely, The will could not move into the areas that had been so unpleasant for the spirit. The will had tremendous obstacles to being able to clear what it was holding. When the will began to stir again in Atlantis, the Atlanteans responded with more controls, regulations, disciplines, and pressure to conform. When the will in Atlantis could not continue to hold its growing charge, the will still tried to move in any way that it could. When the will cannot gain release, at least some of the will's overload is held in the physical body. When the physical body could no longer hold what the emotions were not being allowed to express, the physical body tried to move it in a physical way, which included discord, violence, sexual expression, and illness increasingly became body's avenues of expression for attempting to clear itself. The health of Atlanteans began to break down as they continued denial of the will. Instead of allowing illness to express and tell its story of imbalance so that balance could be found, the Atlanteans applied their sound, light, and other therapies for healing body with greater fervor to combat this growing sabotage of will and body. Medical treatment and treatment of insanity took a punitive and suppressive approach toward the body and the emotions. And in some cases, Atlanteans even utilized surgery. When problems have advanced too far and no other means of healing are known or understood, surgery and other drastic measures may be necessary. Although the concept of cutting out an ailing part of the body and throwing it away is not really more advanced than human sacrifice. Both of these approaches believe a part can be sacrificed for the good of the whole. In both cases, understanding can bring balance before such drastic measures are needed. If an accident is manifested, or a part of the body is ailing, then something is impeding its ability to receive loving light. What the spirit denied in Atlantis, it did not nourish with its light. When the spirit blocked the clearance that will and body needed, both the will and the body began to feel desperate. This desperation carried Atlantis into its third and final period. The more the spirit tried to control the will, the more the will's held charge grew from fear, anger, and sadness into terror, rage, and heartbreak. The will was feeling denied, overwhelmed, and compressed beyond its ability to endure. The will feared it could not clear itself if the spirit would not allow it, and it could not continue feeling what it was feeling with no relief. The will was not being allowed to vibrate itself, and it felt that the spirit was killing it. And in truth, the spirit really was doing this to its own will. The will cannot live unless it vibrates. And when the will vibrates, it opens up space. When space is opened, something has to fill it. And if the spirit does not fill the space with loving light, then denial fills the space. When something in the will is completely ignored, that area of the will receives, in effect, nothing. When this happens, the experience of the will is the experience of opening to receive nothing, or, even worse, opening to receiving unlovingness. No amount of pressure, force, or imposed procedure is going to fill this space in the right way. When the wheel cannot move, density increases until there is no vibration, which is death. The wheel has to be free to move, and the spirit has to fill this space with loving light. In the final period of Atlantis, the desperation of the will manifested itself in any way that it could, because the old charge of the will was trying frantically to clear itself. The more the will tried to move, the harder it was hit with denial. Every attempt the will made to release itself that was not met by acceptance from the spirit was met with more denials in the form of controls and reprisals by those still attempting to cling to the belief that control of the will was absolutely necessary. These people continued to hold their judgments against the will and viewed the action of the will as further proof that the will was denying of and in opposition to the spirit. There were many social manifestations of the will's desperation. Increased pressure on the will caused the wills of some to break through the controls of the spirit and express in an out-of-control manner, which often the disconnect between the will and the spirit was so severe that it was as though a stranger had taken over the normally spirit-oriented personality. Many could not remember what they had done during these outbreaks. The lack of alignment between the will and the spirit was also acted out on a larger scale in society. Wars broke out in the outlying regions. Disorder, civil disobedience, and crime increased in Atlantis. Denial in Atlantis had placed so much of its energy field outside of loving acceptance, that loving essence that was denied and placed outside of love became mixed in with unconditional denial. Denial that had no loving essence was already present in Atlantis, and now it began to find more ways to manifest its presence. The will did not want this, and when it felt itself in the presence of this denial, the will felt terrified. Some will essence leaped toward the spirit, trying to gain its attention any way it could. The will still could not express all the emotion it felt regarding its situation. And so it did not find out that by doing this, it could have been able to let go of the denial mixed in with it that did not want love and light. The people of Atlantis had little to no awareness of the role being played by denial. And instead of accepting and growing to understand, the will's attempt to clear itself of denial it had received, many Atlanteans still attempted to deny the will further. Society enforced this viewpoint of denying the will by killing, torturing, jailing, drugging, confining to hospitals, and otherwise penalizing many in Atlantis who were without conscious understanding of what they were doing, but were trying to clear their wills. The desperate action that some wills were taking in the final period of Atlantis was seen by many spirits as further proof that drastic reprisals aimed at controlling the will were more necessary than ever. repression was increased, and a deaf ear was turned to the viewpoint of the will. The fear of the will that it attempts to clear itself would only result in further denial was manifesting itself in reality. Based on what the spirits and power positions in Atlantis were still seeing as resistance, opposition and limitations of the will towards the spirit, a decision was made to rev up the great crystal in an attempt to displace such a force of power that dissonance and rebellion would be quelled. The Atlanteans who did this overamped the great crystal with more energy than it could hold, much of it filled with an intent to destroy the will. This was another reenactment of spirit attempting to rev up and expand without regard for the will's willingness or ability to receive and ground this energy. As a result, the discharge of this excessive energy manifested as an undirected force that did extensive damage and resulted in earthquakes that ultimately sank Atlantis. Toward the end of Atlantis, a number of people who had more openness and really were seeking more balance with the mother energy decided they had to leave Atlantis. They planned to leave in boats and decided that they would have to be built in secret. By the time they were ready to leave, earthquakes were already causing dangerous riptides and tidal waves, but they were able to receive some guidance from me and succeed in finding another place to live. Many of them became the original people of the Eastern and Central American cultures. Even as their land was sinking, many Atlanteans were still denying that there was any connection between their beliefs, the way they implemented their beliefs, and the problems manifesting in Atlantis. Instead, these Atlanteans further intensified the split between the spirit and the will by continuing to claim that their beliefs were correct and that the reason their belief system was not successful was because the will was at fault. Some of these people escaped from the sinking land and went to what had been outlying regions of Atlantis to try to continue their way of life. Egypt, Persia, and a number of other places that made sudden leaps in their civilization did so because Atlanteans came to live there. Now that physical death had become a reality on Earth, many more people died in Atlantis as earthquakes and sinkings swept the land, and they did not have the means to escape. A number of them died in confinement and imprisonment. The fear of the spirit that the will would deny it, and the fear of the will that the spirit would deny it, was manifesting in reality. The judgments made again by everyone in the last days of Atlantis were against both the spirit and the will. While some lean toward one polarity and some toward the other polarity, reality is that one polarity cannot be denied without denial of the other polarity also taking place. Most of these judgments are still present, and they have lessened the brilliance of present society. Even so, over and over, many Atlanteans have still wanted to try their approach again and have continued to hold the dream of restoring the brilliance that once knew in Atlantis. Much of modern society has been primarily Atlantean in outlook. Those discriminated against in these societies have, for the most part, been the more will-oriented and have had a Lemurian approach, or have leaned in this direction. The role played by denial has still been largely ignored. There are many judgments that have been made during the course of experiences on Earth, and empowered to stay present by unreleased emotion, and that these judgments cannot all be listed. The main focus of the judgments in Atlantis was that loss of control is very dangerous, and that the expression of the will brings chaos. That the will must not be allowed to express because it is destructive. That the will is, by nature, in opposition to the spirit and must be disciplined, controlled, and suppressed. That the information from the institutional faculty of the will cannot be trusted. That the will's contribution to creation is in conflict with the spirit's vision. That the will is the cause of death, and that there is nothing the spirit can do about this except rise above it and leave it behind, and that will and body are meant to serve the spirit and are not meant to have a say in creation. The presence of Atlantean and Lemurian consciousness on Earth today can show you the judgment still held from those times. The vast wealth of information that could be brought forward from the past also cannot be done within the limitations of a book. These stories have brought forward some of the information that needs to be enlarged upon the individual memory. The process of clearing your own will can allow it to tell its story.